Gus, Jude and Wendell love being rewarded for a job half done. Get around Bluebet's NRL 6 points halftime early payout. Available on the NRL rounds 1 to 4. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Yes, it's the Rush Hour at Sydney's Triple M. Follow us on socials at Rush Hour Triple M. We've got Jude, Dell and Candice with you this afternoon on Monday. It's a lot of rain around Sydney for today and much of the week. A big shout out to our captain, Gusty Warland, who is in the UK, sadly, for a family bereavement. We send our love to the great man. How are you, Candice Warner?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Not too bad. It was a good weekend. I was out at Sydney Olympic Park for my daughter's swimming. What did you get up to?
I took the girls to Luna Park yesterday, so it was interesting. I hadn't been there for years. Coney Island was still pretty fun.
Yeah.
Food was always good. But
the kids love it or not?
Look, they did love it. Mm. However, I was going to take my middle child, Indy, on the flying chairs. And just as before it was our turn, we'd been lining up for maybe 45 minutes, it broke down. So we're standing there in the sun and I was stuck in between some adolescent young men who I think they dodged the shower a little bit too often. So they went very, very hard on the deodorant shower. Let me tell you, they stunk.
Well done, Mother of the Year.
What about you, mate? Brisbane are the kings of Brisbane.
Yeah, Brisbane was so good, you know. They beat the Dolphins. Great rivalry. Mate, Gussie, mate, 51,500 people. That's a rivalry right there, you know. And I've got to say, I was so happy to catch up with Tristan. So he's got a girlfriend, Olivia, so took them out to dinner and let me say, Tristan was looking an absolute treat. He's my son.
Well done. Now, guys, we have a new premier here in New South Wales.
Yeah, I know.
Incredible. Chris Minns. Chris Minns has been elected over the weekend.
Is that your man, is it?
He's our man.
Yep.
Well, let's have a listen. You got behind him. We know that. Yeah. Let's go.
Well, Chris, all I can say is I know that you're in and around the Dragons area. You got my vote, mate.
I love that. Thanks so much, Del.
Oh, I told you.
See, you backed him in, didn't you? And he got across the line.
Yep, because he's a Dragons man and, you know, he's a Bulldog supporter as well.
But it got Candice and I thinking because we did have Dominic Perrottet in here as well and we just wanted to play some audio back from that interview.
Thanks, guys.
You got my vote.
Hang on. Talk about a swinging voter.
Oi, that's classic Wendell Saylor, mate. I'm on anyone bandwagon, you know that.
Yeah, whether it's the Dragons, whether it's the
Broncos.
Roosters, I'm a Roosters man now.
We have had a massive weekend of footy in NRL's round 4. Let's hear all the action.
Now it's Cleary. He's got time. He shoots. No. He's got it off. It's magnificent. He has got it.
Wow.
He's a master.
My goodness.
Nathan Cleary, 43 metres out on an angle, has tied the game. It comes now to Moses. He shoots. Yes. He's got it. League in 2023 just keeps delivering. That's phenomenal.
Milford with the ball. Grab a kick. Ball loose on the deck. Picked up and Stags is away. Stags is up over the 20. Still going, Stags. Over the 40. He's over the 50. Stags is away. Tony Stags will win the game. The Broncos are home.
Good night.
An intercept. Good night. Valentine Holmes won. 100 metres.
Josh Aloye's dropped the ball and invited the Rabbitohs right back into this one. Comes back to Ilias. Ilias shapes the kick and he's kicked it in golden point extra time. Rabbitohs 13, Manly 12.
Comes to Johnson.
Dummy Gatsu scores! Sean Johnson right there. We see the attacking Johnson put the Warriors back in front in moments.
The Warriors have won their third game. 16 points to 14.
There's Nico Hines in support. Will Kennedy is on his inside. Oh, Get the Arabian is there. And the Sharks have gone 100 metres.
40 points to 8.
Del, I've got to ask you, what was the atmosphere like at Suncorp for the big battle of Brisbane?
Mate, it was unbelievable. I said to you on the day before, I think, it felt like an Origin, you know, sort of build-up, like fans were flying in and people, you know, they were coming from, you know, far north Queensland, some from Papua New Guinea. Queensland, they just love it at Suncorp Stadium, you know. All the country areas out there near Mount Isa and the vibe, it was buzzing for like 4 days.
I think the Dolphins, they did really well considering the circumstances, what happened during the week and then what happened, I guess, what unfolded during the game.
The Dolphins, look, Wayne Bennett, he knows how to coach a side to be tough. Like, I said it was going to be a tight game. Like, I thought, you know, 10, 12 points to the Broncos because they had a few injuries, obviously, Dolphins and suspensions. But I've got to say this. That was that Tony Staggs try. Can I say that was old-school Broncos try? Like, whether it was Steve Renoff or you're throwing it left to Darren Smith, that's how the Broncos used to play. So Kevy's doing a really good job there, and the Broncos are confident. But you know what? What I'm so glad I wasn't here for? Mate, my mate, Anthony Maroon, carrying on. It was one of the great wins. Because I know the little rivalry he's got with me and he knows I'm best mates with Seabowl. And I'm thinking, come on, Manly, come on. But can I just say this? South Sydney, well done. Mate, John Sattler, he'd be very proud. And just to see that, I was watching it with Tara and just the emotion in and around that, I actually teared up because just that's what rugby league's about. And South do it the best.
Great to see Lachlan Ilias stand up in that big moment, wasn't it?
Well, I think... You know, I think I said it to you before, Jason Demetrio at a luncheon was talking about, you know, when he took him off the field, you know, gave him the hook. That's the making of Lachlan Ilias. And look, I love Adam Reynolds, but that clutch field, that clutch, you know, play, that's why he backed him. And he's a good young kid, mate. He's 92 kilos, and I said to you, mate, he's got a little bit of swagger about him, so I'm really happy for him, especially bouncing back after that Dragons game, you know, the Dragons game last year. Yeah. But that's what makes a young man.
And what about Sean Johnson? He was just so impressive for the Warriors.
Well, Sean Johnson looks happy. Our blokes play their best football and when they're happy, and it's easy. When Sean Johnson takes them on, that's when he plays his best. So that was a magic for Sean Johnson.
And Nicho Hynes returns from the calf injury and had a huge impact.
Well, the good thing about Nicho, that he doesn't have to overplay his hand. He just gives you confidence. So that's why Nicho Hynes is who he is, and the Sharks are a better team with him.
Now it's time to talk to this legend.
Next guest is the kind of bloke you never invite to a party because he makes the rest of us look really bad. He's a comedian, children's author, Ben Cleo Bachelor of the Year, commentated the cricket on Triple M, and at one point had a radio show called Hamish and Andy. But don't let his lack of job stability fool you. He's actually a really rich guy. I mean, professional guy. And we're happy to welcome to the Rush Hour, Andy Lee.
Yes, welcome to the Rush Hour, Andy. How are you, mate? It's the last episode of The 100 airing Tuesday night. What have been some of the highlights this year for you?
Oh, that intro, to be honest. The highlight, I mean, having Hamish on always excites me because we argue about things throughout our lives together as good mates, and the opportunity to turn to 100 people and say, who's in the right here, is perfect. Unfortunately, I've only won one of the two arguments I've had when he's been on. But tomorrow night, 7:30, we're on, and Sophie Monk, Luke McGregor, and I want to ask you, Candace, this.
Yep.
Sophie, I walked on a plane. Sophie sat down in business class while her partner, her husband, kept going and walked in.
No.
You can't do that.
I asked the 100 whether that's okay, whether people are allowed to do that. Sophie tried to defend herself, but it's on the show.
Oh, he would have been filthy, wouldn't he?
I'd be devastated. My wife would do it to me. Absolutely. I'd take the kids and go to the back.
You know what? Actually, Dave's done that to me before. We've been flying. Yes. Yeah. And I was heavily pregnant. And
what?
I remember.
What?
Yes. And I remember I ended up out down the back, well, sort of midway. So it wasn't quite down the back. And he was at the front. Yes.
Andy, what can we expect from the finale?
Well, we do have a segment called Couples Court, which will return, which is whereby couples come on, explain a problem they've got in their relationship, and they have 100 people vote in. So
I like that.
That's always fun. There's a couple tomorrow night. They're called Stacey and Fonz. Now, Fonz snores his head off, so he's often banished to the other room. He argues that she should go to the other room, Stacey, because she actually has the problem with the snoring. It doesn't bother him.
Now, Andy, you did this judge stuff a couple of weeks ago and your partner, Beck, came in and you had the judge. You looked a bit sheepish in there because you had something to explain, which was the fact that you've watched Westworld, the season 4, but without her. You sit there and go through the series, but then you raced ahead. Is that right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Hamish actually sprung this on me on the show. If you haven't seen it, it's on Nine now. But he noticed Beck was in the audience. So he pulled her up out of the audience and tried to settle this one, which was we had been watching seasons 1 to 3 of Westworld. I pestered Beck for 2 years to watch this last season. She kept saying no, so I went ahead and watched it without her. So
she's had enough time.
What is Westworld?
Oh, it's a great show. Yeah,
Westworld is like a sci-fi film, sorry, a TV series whereby AI is so good, robots are so good that people go into this theme park, adult theme park, where they go back into the Wild West and they can kind of do anything to anyone.
I can see why she kind of didn't want to watch it for a few years.
But my wife did it to Queen of the South and a couple like Yellowstone. She just races ahead and I'm like, just give me a chance. It's frustrating.
Now, do you and Hamish have any specials coming up that you can tell us about?
No, the podcast is back and out, which is fun. Every Thursday, for those who like catching up with the pod, we have a government-mandated break, as we like to call it, not a holiday, between November and March every year. So that's just kicked back on, and that's been a lot of fun.
And we know how fickle TV is, Andy. Will you be back for another season with the 100?
They've actually just ordered another 2 seasons.
Awesome.
So later on in the year, you'll see season 5 and then again next year for season 6. So we must be doing something all right, or I've got some something over the Channel 9 executives that they don't want coming out and then so I can blackmail my way onto the TV.
Thanks, Andy. We can't wait for tomorrow night's show, The 100. It's on 7:30 on Channel 9. Guys, this is your chance to get involved in the show, 133353. What has your a-hole cat done? And this comes across my desk earlier on today. The State Library Victoria, guys, has uncovered a rare book from the 17th century defaced by a mass of cat paw prints. Now, we're talking a book that's been written back in 1605. It was bound volume of Philip Sidney's The Countess of Pembroke's Arcadia. Not one of my favourite books, but anyway.
Nor mine.
But it's an incredible, rare English printed book. Now, the librarian has turned to page 142 of the book, Candace, and found it was defaced by a muddle of inky paw prints. So obviously a cat has spilt some ink and then walked all over the book and just completely ruined this rare, rare book.
So firstly, does anyone care?
Well, we English history,
And secondly, I'm not a cat lover. So
you're not a cat lover?
I can't warm to cats. I don't trust them.
Have you got cats?
No, I haven't had cats. However, two Saturday mornings ago, I was trying to get out of the house quickly to get here to Dead Set Legends, and a stray cat wandered into my house. Now, I absolutely shat myself because it started to purr at me. And I didn't know what to do. I went across the road.
Were you just hungry? Thirsty?
Well, I didn't. It scared me. Anyway, I ran across the road to the builder and said, "Gussie," which was our builder, "can you come over and basically save me?" So he was also petrified. So then there was two scared people of this tiny little cat that was kind of cute. Anyway, he saved the day, but I was petrified. I was really scared of this cat.
Del, have you had an a-hole cat at all?
Yeah, I've got this mate of mine. When I grew up, there's a cat called Puncho. And Puncho used to hate me. Yeah, my mum named him Puncho. And Puncho, I didn't used to like Puncho. I'm a dog lover, as you know. And as I go in my room sometimes, Puncho would just pee everywhere.
So I thought you loved the pussycat.
I do love pussycats. Yeah, I do.
How pungent is that cat pee? It's terrible.
It stinks.
Our cat, we've just got a cat called Kitty.
That's original.
Well, my daughter's named it Whiskers, Longtail, Legs or something like that. It was like ridiculous. And we said, no, we're just changing. It's Kitty. But I had an older couch. It did need to get turned over. It was sort of like a linen couch, but the whole corners just got ripped by our cat. It was the one that said, "That's enough." And it just got us thinking, like, what has your a-hole cat done? Has it caused havoc? Has it, ruined something?
What has your a-hole cat done? John?
Well, when we go away on holidays, it used to get upset, and I had it always used to destroy something, but we went away one year and he used to be able to get in the garage door through the cat thing. And I had a nice, let's just say, European car with a nice sunroof on it. So it decided to shit on the sunroof. And then you know how they like to cover their shite with a bit of dirt. After I'd removed the shite from the sunroof, I noticed that it had scratched the shit out of it because it was trying to bury it as well.
Oh, my God, John. Crazy. They do anything, these cats. Let's go to Liam. How are you, Liam?
Good, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. What's your a-hole cat done?
My cat used to always get on the bench when it was hungry, and if Mum didn't feed it, it used to, like, smash glasses and that. Mum had enough one day, so she went to take the cat off the bench, didn't like it, so it gave Mum a black eye, and she's still got a scar across her eye to this day.
It's given no. the like the right, yeah. right miss.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. These are people's family pets, and that they're being attacked. I don't.
They're
I just you can't
cats.
Trust them.
They're pretty aloof. Oh, they just strut around a fair bit.
They are. Mick, what about you, mate? Surely you've got a good story. What about your a-hole cat?
How are you, Mick?
Yeah, Helen, good, thank you. We had this cat as kids. We were up in Dale, and this is just prior to the cyclone, and having hot weather all the time, we had bottles of water in the fridge, and whenever my brother and I would venture anywhere near the fridge, we had to call Mum because the cat, Oscar the Tabby, used to guard the fridge. It was his territory, and if we didn't get Mum in to lean over the cat and open the fridge door, he would scratch us. He would just have the tip of his tail just flickering, and then... if you were looking the wrong way, you were in trouble.
They give you the look, don't they? They're a-holes, aren't they, Mick?
Most glad. couldn't even get a bottle of water out of the fridge. But he did. He was one of the first cats to fly long distance from the laundry door to the washing line when Dad caught him stealing steak off the kitchen bench. This is after the cyclone and finally being in a position to be able to afford to buy some steak. And Dad's still got the scars down the length of his right forearm where Oscar got him as Dad went to grab the steak from his mouth. And that's when he took flight from the laundry door to the actual washing line.
Oh, crazy. Unbelievable. Let's finish it off with Donna. How are you, Donna? Hello, Donna. Welcome to the Rush Hour.
Bye-bye.
Hey, how are you? What's your a-hole cat done?
My black cat gave me hell. Anyway, it was a great life with me cat, but about 3-4 years ago, it just started to go walkies, couldn't find me cat. So about 2 weeks later, I noticed this, like, woofy smell. So I cleaned out the lounge room, cleaned out the bedroom, thinking, you know, it's passed away or something. Where it done, it passed away all right, under the air conditioner outside. So every time I turn on the air conditioner, I had this woofy smell.
Disgusting.
Exactly where she was born. So I guess that's where she wanted to die and be buried. Put me dressing gown over and buried her under the air conditioner.
Oh Donna. Oh. You're a good mum.
God bless.
Now it's time to talk a bit of footy with one of our favourites.
On this show, we get afternoon wood. And here it is now. The bearded NRL and Blues legend himself. It's Aaron Woods.
Now, Woodsy, there was a lot of press over the weekend. Can you give us an update of where this Seagulls contract sits?
Yeah, I can. So, as of today, I think both clubs are talking with each other. There's a couple of, I think, young players at the Seagulls that want to go to the Dragons. And then Manly have asked to take me in return. And I think the clubs are just sorting out the T's and I's of the situation. And, you know, hopefully it'll be done either tonight or tomorrow. So fingers crossed we can get done and can stop talking
Fresh
about
start.
It and just play some footy. Yeah. And, mate, it's pretty funny, actually, because I grew up, I was a tragic Manly supporter. So, funny.
Of course you were, mate. Of course you were. About six clubs you've been to now, mate.
Five, mate. Come on.
The journeyman.
It's a journeyman. But it was actually funny. I got home on Saturday morning and my wife was like, oh, so we're going to Manly now. And I was like, yeah, we might have to pack up and move. So it's funny how footy works.
So how does this kind of swap work? Do you get any say in which club you want to go to, or is just like, this is where you're going, boom, you're gone?
Yeah, look, so apparently it happened on Friday and it was just more the fact that Manly showed interest in me. You know, I've been playing lower grades as of late at the Dragons. I was 18th man on the weekend, and it just made sense. You know, it's a good swap. They've signed these young kids for, I think, 2 and 3 years, and to fast track their development, get them into the system, know how to play. I think they just want to do the move ASAP. So, it sort of works, but it works well for both parties. So
it's not a matter of you wanting out of St. George.
No, well, I didn't. Yeah, I thought I was going to finish the year at St. George, and they just come to me and said that Manly have approached us, asked for you, and what do you think of this situation? And, you know, I don't want to stop the development of these kids at the club. And it just, you know, it made sense. Where I'm playing at the moment, I've been playing reserve grade. And then, you know, I've had a conversation with Siebes and I've spoke to what he wanted from me. And it just sounded really good. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity, Candice. And I just can't wait for a start.
Look, I think you'll do a good job there, Woodsy. But, you know, one thing I do know about Manly, it's some nice beaches, some nice bars. And, some of their squad members, I really love it, what they're doing there. So what do you reckon Anthony Seibold's changing that culture? I know it's only early days yet, but they've lost one game, but they're looking all right.
After speaking to him, you know, he's one of those coaches that loves, you know, all the X's and O's, and he's got so many theories. But when I was talking to him, he sort of said that, you know, when he was at Brisbane, he probably pushed that too hard on the group.
Sure.
And, you know, from when he had his South Sydney, he had some really good leaders, really good old blokes, middle core, and that's what he feels he's got at Manly. And his biggest thing that he said for Manly was just bringing the boys together. He goes, I can coach them everything they want, but I've got to also get them to run through a brick wall. So I think that's something that he's learned over his time. And then he said he took so much out of Eddie Jones when he was over there, and that's just what he's learned. So for me, and from what he wants from me, he just dumbed it down and been real basic and just come out of there and just embrace what we're doing as a group.
Well, we've worked together for a while now, so we've been to KFC and done those charity functions. Just make sure he doesn't go to Macca's, okay? And if he does, get some menu line.
You're the best, Dale. He's your mate. Come on, brother. Look after
him. I love him, mate. I spoke to him about it. It's fine.
Woodsy, I don't want to dwell on your older side now, but, I mean, there's Dragons fans wanting some answers. And, I mean, you're 12-8 down at halftime. Controversial try, I guess, to Jesse Ramian.
Yep.
Possibly should have been disallowed, but there's no excuse for the next 40. I mean, 25 missed tackles and 42% completion rate. What can, I guess, you speak to the Dragons fans about this?
Yeah, that's right, Jude. I think that's probably the most disappointing thing. We spoke, you know, after last week's performance against Broncos, our second half start was quite poor. I think they got two quick tries and leveled up the score. And it was something we spoke about all week that we wanted to really fix. And, you know, as a group, it was so disappointing. I think our captain, you know, Benny Hunt, summed it up perfect at the end of the game. Not one bloke could walk off the field with their head held high. You know, the effort areas weren't there. And they're the little things. Like, you look at the Tigers, you look at other clubs, like, they're getting beat, but they're still putting the effort in. And for us last night, it was just really disappointing. And as a group, like, the sheds after the game was just such a quiet, hollow place. It was just real. You could hear a pin drop. And the boys are hurt, and I dare say they'll get back to training. They'll get back on the horse. But it's just, there's just so many things going on there at the moment. I just reckon if they can just focus on the footy and just get that stuff right, I think turning around is not too far away.
So what's doing with your training kit? Do you take it down to your local Vinnies, or do you pass it on to some of your mates? What happens there?
Nah, honestly, a couple of my best mates are Dragon supporters, so they're filthy I'm gone, but they're happy they get all my kit now.
Because it's expensive NRL
but
merchandise.
The other thing is, being a tragic Manly supporter, I've always had to buy the Manly gear, so I'm actually really looking forward to getting some for free, hopefully.
Well, you know, we'll love it. Your young bloke, he just loves footy. Every time I see him and that on the video, Instagram.
Can I say one thing to you, mate? Last night, Mike, so he's a tragic Cronulla Sharks supporter.
Loves it. Oh, yeah.
So
loves
Ronnie.
Comes to my house and drops off a jersey. He's got number 5, Buster, on the back. And at the end of the game, I thought he was coming up to me on the field. And he goes, Ronnie was behind me. And he jumped up at Ronnie and gave him a big
cuddle. No.
So I got nothing. And then I get home, and I was all on social media. My little fella Buster's in the sheds, throwing the water, singing up. I couldn't believe it.
How good's that?
Oh, mate, we wish you all the best. However it falls, but we love you.
I appreciate it. Love you guys.
Thanks, Woody. Well done, mate.
Now, guys, I was at the SCG yesterday. 37,500 out of the SCG. Amazing atmosphere. And
love the Jews.
Amazing performance by the Swannies. Smashed Hawthorn.
Belted the Hawks. Absolutely, you know, pants them from the get-go. And it was on the back of some of the youngsters as well. Joel Amati and Logan McDonald without anybody. But there was someone or a couple of people in the crowd. And
really?
One of those was Sydney Sweeney. Who's that?
Okay, so only really know who she was a month ago when I started watching White Lotus. She was on season 1 of White Lotus, and her character was Olivia, and she played the daughter of this couple, right? And I didn't really like her, to be honest. She wasn't that likeable.
Didn't warm to her.
No, I didn't. She just was a bit...
I think a few of the young Swans warmed to her, though, after the game.
She's easy on the eye.
Oh, it's not about that, but I'll tell you what, it's a great atmosphere at the Swannies, even with the kids and that. So I don't know if you've ever taken the girls, but you got to take them there. It's great.
Now, there was another guest there, and it was Caroline Kennedy, the daughter of JFK. And the Swans always sing Sweet Caroline, and it's the actual song by Neil Diamond is about her. Have a listen.
Was she getting into it? Like, could you see she was a bit chuffed by it?
She was. She came up on screen and was sort of, you know, almost conducting the crowd along. But pretty amazing to have a song like that named after you.
And then have 37,000 people sing it to you.
Do you know who sings it pretty good too when he wins his world titles?
Who's that?
Tyson Fury. Oh, if you ever get a chance, Google Tyson Fury.
Love the Gypsy King.
Yeah, and he grabs his wife and then just starts singing to her. Mate, so charismatic. He's one of my favourites.
Del, Greg Marju's debut for the Knights on the wing. Wow, how fantastic.
Mate, I knew this kid could play, but I didn't think he was like, the way that he finished, you know, he's so strong. You know,
we're huge guns.
Unbelievable. We're getting those, you know, the Polynesian and, you know, Fijian players a lot more now through the system. But just even when he scores, he just reaches out, holds his width well. And I just love the way that he plays.
Now, Brandon Smith, we love the hectic cheese. He had some comments to say around Joseph Suali'i's move to rugby. Let's have a listen.
$1.6 million could have been spent better on the grassroots of rugby. A $1.6 million winger from the Roosters isn't going to help you beat the All Blacks.
Pretty cheeky sort of stuff, but he did say, you know, he's got the 3-year deal, some easy money over there, and then come back. What are your thoughts?
Well, when I heard this, I said, to my mate, isn't it funny? I actually said the same thing, like that $1.6 million could have went into grassroots, you know, but then I thought, you know what? There's a bloke called Lottie Dakiri and a bloke called Wendell Saylor in 2003. You know, we were part of the World Cup and we beat the All Blacks.
Yeah.
So, Brandon Smith, I know what you're saying, but I said to Lottie, hey, Brandon, Hold my beer. But it's good fun. I like the hectic cheese. So, you know, we need characters like him in the game.
Lachlan Ilias continues to grow in confidence. We saw that on the weekend when South took on Manly and he slotted the goal into golden point.
Yeah, well, I think you said this before, Candice. You like Lachlan Ilias. You wanted Reynolds to stay, but I understood why they kept this young man. I think I said to you at the Maruba Surf Club there South Maruba Surf Club. When I sat next to him, I came back and I said, he's an impressive young man, 92 kilos. Him and Jason Demetrio, they bounce well off each other, but also Jason trusts him. So I was cheering for Manly, obviously, because I'm a mate, Seabowl, but I love seeing Lachlan Ilias play well. So and I think he's managed by Brayton Astor.
And Nico Hines, underdone, but still gets it done, Del, against the Dragons. They were pretty ordinary in the second half, the Drags.
Yeah, well, look, the Sharks are playing some good football. When you get a guy like Nico Hines, he just gives you confidence. And that's why, you know, that's why he won at Dally M. He just gives you confidence, gets around, get him around the park, but also with that calf injury, I was just a bit nervous for him because you don't want to come back too soon. So well done to Nico Hines. No, I wanted the Dragons to win, but I did tip the Sharks because of the confidence.
What about Sean Johnson game-winning try and the obstruction rule?
Yeah, look, I think this was a try every day of the week. Reid Marnie, look, it's football. I'm not going to say he milked it, but maybe he milked it. But I've seen this done time and time again. I think Jamie Sauer did one against the Bulldogs back in 2008 or 9, and they took the try off him. When he went off there, he went bang. That's the Sean Johnson we love, you know. He just went bang. Reid Marnie's not catching him there. So, mate, it was a great no try.
And lastly, he's a star of the game for the Panthers. Isaiah Yeo has recommitted to the club until 2027. Important signing.
Oh, I like everything about Isaiah Yeo, the way he carries himself. We just went out there recently, me and MG, out to Dubbo and that area out there, and they love this kid. I met his old man. What a wonderful young man. And can I tell you this? This is a great signing. And this is a guy in rugby league that you love watching because you talk about Cam Murray, you talk about Isaiah Yeo, they're true leaders in the NRL.
Now, a story came to light on Saturday about Anthony Seibold having a few too many drinks on St. Patrick's Day and then falling asleep at McDonald's. I mean, this has to be a man thing because I can't just fall asleep at the drop of a hat. I struggle. Now, someone who might know what went on that day or actually, Del, were you with him?
To be sure.
Yeah. Were you there at Paddy's?
No, so I was with him the night before for about an hour. So all of our mates from up in Rockhampton, they're around St. Brendan's area. You know Busby Maru on that? So one of the boys, Ray Busby, all the St. Brendan's boys, if anyone knows St. Brendan's boys, they like a good time. They like, farm boys and stuff. So St. Patrick's College up there in Mackay as well. So a good breeding ground. And I said to Seeps, this is funny. So I was only there for an hour the night before and I said, mate, just take care of yourself, me of all people. I said, because I was going to that float Christmas party, party. And then he goes to me, Seeps goes, yep, I got this, no problem. So he was cool that night. And then the boys, they must have had a drink the next day. And can I tell you, mate, I know he fell asleep at Macca's. Who hasn't fallen asleep, mate? I've fallen asleep in a car.
Yeah, I go to movies and that's the thing. And if you know, my wife might book a gold class and like it's a chance for a date night or something like that. Yeah. As soon as I lay the seat down, I am out. Like I just literally can fall asleep anywhere these days.
You've got to take your hats off to Siebes here because I struggle with that. And we all know how important it is to have the little cat nap, the little power nap. So maybe he was just doing that.
You know, it's a funny thing that me and the boys were on a bit of a group chat, and I text Siebes and he got back to me, and it was funny. He owns it and we move on. One of our mates go, can you ask Siebes if the Sunday McFlurry, if it melted before he woke up? So that's not a bad sledge.
But you've fallen asleep in cars and also on the couch out here in between certain things.
But remember I told you, on one of my first dates in Brisbane, I was an 18-year-old and I was training really hard. I didn't used to drink because Seabottle and I used to live together. So I used to drive him around most of the time. So I went on a date and it was Jurassic Park. And I feel sorry for the girl. Halfway through, I got a bit bored. I just laid down on the...
On the floor.
Come on.
So this will shock you. She sat there and watched the whole movie when we got up. Let's just say that date didn't work out again.
Well, let's get it out there to our listeners, because 133353, where did you fall asleep? Was it a weird and wonderful spot? We're talking about where did you fall asleep? 133353, on the back of just a little photo. It shouldn't have been. I don't like the photo being taken of Siebes, but, fell asleep at Macca's, and we've all fallen asleep somewhere.
Yeah, all I'll say is I can't believe Siebes fell asleep. When I'm at Macca's, I get excited, mate.
Exactly.
Cheeseburgers, there's nuggets, there's chips. Oh, mate, yeah. That's,
what's not to love about Macca's?
But you know what I did say? To him, maybe you should have ordered the salad.
Let's go to Andrew. How are you, Andrew? Welcome to Rush Hour.
Not bad, team. How are you?
Not too bad, mate. Where did you fall asleep?
Mate, backpacking across the US back in 2001. It was about 11 o'clock at night. Grippers were sleeping in a car and when a truck stop, and it was too uncomfortable. So I just pulled sleep mag out and slept on the bench.
You slept on the park bench?
On the park bench, and basically Americans, after when they heard about it, they're going, do you know how crazy you are? Do you know people go missing from these, from truck stops and everything like that? Yeah. And I'm going, well, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it now. Please,
no way.
Do not, not advisable.
Fiona, where did you fall asleep?
I fall asleep quite often. I'm a pretty full-on person, so I tend to fall asleep wherever, whenever I stop. I've fallen asleep on several dates. And they still went out with me afterwards, so that's all good. But my best place was when I was getting root canal.
You fell asleep getting a root canal?
Hell. Yeah, so I said to the dentist, well, I did one of those snores that you do that scare you,
your mouth wide open. Oh, that's
I don't usually snore, but, this mouth wide open and instruments all through it. Did one of those loud snores that scare you and wake you up. And I said to the dentist, well, you must be doing your job well because I fell asleep while you were, digging roots and nerves out of my mouth. So, that was my best.
Unbelievable, Fiona.
Oh, what about Mick, mate? When have you fallen asleep, mate? Or
G'day, boys and Candace. How you going?
Good,
very
Mick.
Well, thank you.
Look, I used to live out at Penrith. I worked at Star City Casino.
Oh, yeah.
One afternoon, the boys said to me, Con, come back to my joint at St. Leonard's. So we went back there and we got on at the pub there, and then we went back to his house and he got the tequila out and there was worms in it. I ate the worms. About 12 o'clock, I thought to myself, I've got to get out of here and get home because I've had enough. I was a bit, how's your father? And I jumped on the train and I ended up falling asleep on a bench somewhere. And I thought it was at Penrith Station. I woke up in the morning at 6 o'clock with this man standing over me in a suit.
Where were you?
And he goes, are you okay, mate? And I went, yeah, we're at Penrith Station, aren't we, mate? And he goes, champ, you're at bloody Newcastle.
You got a Newie.
That's the one right there.
Brilliant, Mick. Let's finish this off, Rob. How are you, Rob?
Good. How you guys going?
Not too bad. Where did you fall asleep?
2001, grand final, Knights v Eels. A heap of me and the lads were out down in Illawarra at the time. And
no place.
Yes. Watched the footy at the golf club, and then being all Knights fans, we went out on the town, and I think it was the Glasshouse Dell down there, isn't it?
Yeah, but I've frequented it a few times, mate.
Dell's all over it.
We kicked on into the early hours, and I think I must have got separated from the boys and woke up with a shake from the coppers down there. Apparently, I was just like 10 metres away from the cop shop. They said, you can't sleep here, mate. So I went, all right.
At least you were saying
in front of the cop.
Just in time to see one of my mates get hit by a taxi, actually. When
oh,
I woke
no.
Up.
What?
he got ankle tapped, so he was fine.
The Wollongong coppers are the best, trust me.
Look, I'm glad. Well, all those big shows on TV are wrapping up. It's the finale week, and we're going to speak to the host of Survivor.
Our next guest
guest's last name is really satisfying to say, so I'm going to get my film. Jonathan LaPaglia is an Australian actor living in the US. You've seen Mr. LaPaglia on shows such as NCIS, The Sopranos, Underbelly and Australian Survivor. The LaPaglia family is quite famous. He has a famous brother, Anthony LaPaglia, but they're not related. Okay, they are related. I just said that they were brothers and they have the same last name, LaPaglia. I'll admit that I did that on purpose so I could say LaPaglia again. Please welcome to discuss everything Survivor, heroes versus villains, the host of Survivor and legend, Jonathan LaPaglia.
Yeah, welcome back to the Rush Hour, Jonathan. It's the final of Survivor tonight, the big finale. Can you tell us a few of the behind-the-scenes shenanigans that have been going on ahead of the finale?
No, I cannot tell you. You're going to have to watch.
Amazing, amazing setup.
Final four going in tonight. One's going to get eliminated, going to get booted to the jury, and then it's over to the jury. The jury's going to decide who's going to be sole survivor tonight.
Jonathan, do you think George and Haley surprised everyone and became the biggest threats this season?
Absolutely. They, you know, for them to go this deep as returning players was pretty remarkable. I think it's a testament to how good they are as players, especially George. I mean, he's really playing, you know, 3D chess when everyone else is playing pit the tail on the donkey. I mean, he's pretty remarkable.
Jonathan, other than George, what surprised you this season?
I really loved Simon this season. Mm-hmm. You know, he the first time he played, he kind of bumbled his way through and left with two idols in his pocket. But this time, he bumbled his way through this one too, but he just had, he was just relentless this time, which I loved. You know, it didn't matter how many times he came up with a plan, which was every day, and how many times it failed, which was every day. He just kept going, and I loved that about him, and I loved the relationship that he had with George. So I was kind of sad when he got voted out.
Jonathan, do you find yourself you have any soft spots for any of the contestants? Is it more those who strategize well or the, you know, athletic beasts? Who do you find a soft spot for?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, there is definitely a physical aspect to Survivor, but I think it's really a game of strategy. And so I really kind of like the clever strategists who come and play the game. And as part of that, you really have to be good socially too. So they're the kinds of characters that I find intriguing and I like to watch.
You're back home in LA. What's next for you? What projects are you working on, or is it just about spending time with the family?
I have been spending time with the family, but I'm actually flying back this week to Australia to work on a new binge series that's starring Asher Keddie. It's called Strife.
Oh, wow, fantastic.
Sounds really interesting, mate. Yeah. We can't wait for Australian Survivor, Heroes and Villains finale. It's on tonight, 7:30 on Channel 10 and 10 Play. Wishing you all the best, Jonathan, for the finale.
Thank you. It's going to be a good one. Don't miss it.
Awesome.
We won't.
King George up against Matt, Liz and Jerry in the finale of Survivor. Mate, big show tomorrow. We're going to have Mark Spud Carroll on to talk about just what he's doing with some of the old NRL heroes.
Yep, and boys, I'm going to put you through a little test. You think you know women? Well, I'm going to test you.
Trust me, I do.
Well, join us tomorrow. We're going to have a great time. Thanks for having coming in again.
Thanks,
no, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow and for the rest of the week.
Rest of the week. Oh, that's great. That's an upgrade.
Yeah, we send our best to Gussie, who is
Gussie
in the UK.
Condolences on your mother-in-law.
Sadly, a mother-in-law passed away. So, send our best love. Get home safely, everyone.
Big love.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.